ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 23, Devahuti's Lamentation, Text 55. Please repeat. Sangha ya samsvite hetu asasu vita adiya saha eva sadusu krita nisangatvaya kaupate sangoya samkrite hetu sangoya samkrite hetu asasu vihito diya asasu vihito diya saiva sadusu krito saiva sadusu krito nisanga tvaya kalpate Nisanga tvaya kalpate Sangoya samsvite hetu Asasu vihito diya Saiva sadusu krito Nisanga tvaya kalpate Sangha, association. Ya, wish. Samsvite, of the cycle of birth and death. Hetu, the cause. Asatsu, with those engaged in sense gratification. Vita, done. Adiya, through ignorance. Sa, the same thing. Eva, certainly. Sadhusu, with saintly persons. Krita, perform. Nisangatvaya, to liberation. Kaupate, leads. Translation. Association for sense gratification is certainly the path of bondage. But the same type of association performed with a saintly person leads to the path of liberation, even if performed without knowledge. Purport by Srila Krishna Prabhupada. The association of saintly person in any way bears the same result. For example, Lord Krishna met many kinds of living entities and some treated him as an enemy and some treated him as an agent for sense gratification. It is generally said that the gopis were attached to Krishna for sense gratification and yet they became first-class devotees of the Lord. Kamsa, Shishupal, Dandavakra and other demons, however, were related to Krishna as enemies. But whether they associated with Krishna as enemies all for sense gratification, out of fear or as pure devotees, they all got liberation. That is the result of association with the Lord. Even if one does not understand who he is, the results have the same efficacy. Association with a great saintly person also results in liberation. Just as whether one goes towards fire knowingly or unknowingly, The fire will make one warm. Devahuti expressed her gratefulness, for although she wanted to associate with Kadama Muni only for sense gratification, because he was spiritually great, she was sure to be liberated by his benediction. Sangoya samsite hetu asasu vito diya saiva sadusu krito nisanga dvaya kaupate. Translation again. Association for sense gratification is certainly the path of bondage, but the same type of association performed with a saintly person leads to the path of liberation, even if performed without knowledge. Om Magyana Timrandasya Gananjana Slakaya Shaksamalitam Yanatasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Blessabdale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Namne. Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Vicharine Nivishesa Sunyavadi Pasicha Deshatarin. So, in this next few verses, or before that, he's speaking a lot of association and different kind of association, quality of association. It's not only in spiritual life, but even in material life. People say the people we associate with were determined. As you associate, so you become. In the business world, they'll say your network determines your net worth. So who you associate with depending on how much you make. And that's why in the nectar of instruction, Prabhupada said that just like in the material world, there's some people, different businesses, they form different associations, so that like-minded people come together and discuss and how to improve their business. He says, similarly, we have started the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, so like-minded person can come, take prasadam, kirtan, discuss the pastime of Krishna. Because the association, the jiva soul, just like water, the quality of water, it cannot stand on its own. It always has to be bind to something. That's why pure water has a lot of minerals in it. Similar to jiva, it has to be bind to either the spiritual or the material. So when we associate, what kind of association we get, and even when we associate, what kind of quality, the quality of the association is also important. That's why in spiritual life, it's recommended sadhu sangha is so important. Out of the five, the 64 items of devotional service, Lord Chaitanya Prabhu lists the five most important, and the top of the list is sadhu sangha. The association of devotee, because in Chaitanya Charitamrita it says sadhu sangha, sava sashi hoy, lava matra sadhu sangha, sava siddhi hoy. Lava matra, even if the association is just very momentary, 1/11th, was it? 1/11th of a second. It's very fleeting. It can have immense effect. One can achieve all perfection. It's not like sometimes in the early days, we call it, it's almost like celebrity photo shoot. When the guru come, then devotees always try to stick their head somewhere close by. When the devotees take photos, they will be in the photos. And then they can show like, see, I'm always with my Guru Maharaj. Look at all the photos. And then another devotee will comment, why don't we see this guru with Prabhupada in many of the pictures? Then he commented, because he's too busy serving. That's why he never had time to be out in the photo. And in the early days when Prabhupada came back to India, one of the first Indian devotees who joined Prabhupada's movement was very attached to Prabhupada. So wherever Prabhupada go, travel to different cities, he would just drop his service and come and go and see Prabhupada. He said, I got to be with Prabhupada. So one time Prabhupada was in his room in another city, and this devotee dropped his service, came to that city, came to Prabhupada's room, paid of Phu Dandavat and said, Prabhupada, I'm so attached to you. Prabhupada looked at him. Then he looked at him. He said, this mosquito is also very attached to me. So what's the purpose of this mosquito? Suck my blood. So you have your seva. And Rupa Goswami said, Prabhudatta Desh, the instruction, the place of worship given by the spiritual master, that is your place of worship. You stay there and you serve. Just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, you stay here in Vrindavan and you write books and you excavate all these holy places. So one also, although Prabhupada said here that association, because the association of devotees is so powerful, not just devotee, actually even association of materialistic people are also very powerful. It influences. And there's one of these very famous motivation guru, I don't know if you heard of him, Anthony Robbins. He said, he called it the 10 degrees. With the group of people you associate with, you cannot go more than 10 degrees beyond those kind of mentality and attitude. And he explained it further, and it was a very, very interesting understanding of the psychology of association. He said, when you associate with a group of people, two things can happen. If it's not a really true match, two things can happen. Either you move away from, you have to move, they have to elevate themselves to your level, or you have to go down to their level in order to be able to have the synergy of association. So it depends. So when you talk about association, it does not necessarily mean just because you're with that person, you're associating with that person. What are you giving and what are you taking from it? That's real association. So for some example, devotees, they may go out into the material world. And they go on the street, they read books, they go out to preach. But is he taking association of the people he meet? Or is he giving association to the people he meet? But in order to give association, we have to be stronger than the people we're associating with. Otherwise, we get pulled down. And we have seen that happen, where devotees just fully busy, just doing service, busy preaching, but neglecting the sadhana. So they become weak. And due course of time, they don't have the strength, and they get pulled down. Especially if we are weak and if we're associating with Mayavadis. People with the impersonal views. Because Mayavadi's impersonal views can be very subtle. The difference between that and Krishna conscious philosophy can be very subtle. For example, you have the, what do you call it? The sahajas. Right? They may speak everything is similar to the philosophy, but they can be just a little bit off here and there. And in the Vaishnava tradition is so strict, Bhaktivinoda identify so many of the different sahajas, and some of them, the differences is so negligible, but still is rejected by the strict Vaishnavas. So association means giving or taking. So it's very important who we are taking from and who we are associating with. But then again, it's always detrimental to our spiritual life. In fact, it's very dangerous to our spiritual life to start judging who is advanced devotee, who is not advanced devotee, who I should offer respect to and who I should not. Oh, here is a very advanced devotee, I'll offer my respect to him. Oh, here is not so advanced devotee, I'll just neglect. So that can also be very dangerous because, again, the Shastras say, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigyaya Sabujaya, Nabujaya. Sometimes it's very, very difficult to understand the heart of a devotee. Externally, he may be acting in a certain way, but But who knows the heart of a devotee? The heart of a devotee, Krishna is in the heart of the devotee. And it's not always visible to the normal eye. If you don't have the eye to see, we don't see. Just like with Rishabh Dev. He was just lying down like a vagabond. You know, surrounded by his shoes and not dressed and just very unkempt. So, for someone who doesn't have the vision, they walk by, they say, look at this vagabond. But someone with a vision will say, this is a very, very saintly person. Same thing Shukadev Goswami. When he came out from the womb and left his father's ashram, he didn't even bother to get dressed and just walk. But all the children, the women in the villages, they were laughing at him. He said, this guy just walking around naked. So they were making fun of him and following him, calling him all kind of name. Then as he came upon the assembly of the sages, where they were trying to answer the pertinent question of Maharaj Parikshit, where nobody was able to answer, they all stood up out of respect. They could see the transcendental quality of Shukadev Goswami. They stood up and offered respect and offered him the seat of reverence. Then the children, ladies realized, oh, he's not just some vagabond running around naked. He's a great saintly person. So sometimes external behavior of a devotee can be very difficult to understand and different to see. And it is not our position to judge, to make any judgment on anyone. Because that's very dangerous in spiritual life. We can perform Vaishnava parad and destroy everything that is good in us. So the best way, the recommended way, and is the humble approach. Just offer respect to everyone. And being around in Nishkan for so many years, we have seen sometimes the big devotees, they fall away. Then so-called humble devotee, 30-something years, 40-something years, they're still around, still doing service, and they make improvement. And I've seen some devotee in the younger days, they're struggling with their senses, struggling with their mind, barely keeping it together in their devotional life. But somehow, they had that determination, somehow they had that taste, and they just hang on to it. And now they're sitting there giving wonderful Bhagavatam classes, which filled with so much realization. So you never know who is who, because devotional service is not a 100-meter dash. It's a marathon. It's a long marathon. So who is still standing at the finishing line, you want to see? You know? Not like the hurry. Run and then stop and fall asleep. And time just passes by. It doesn't matter if you're like the tortoise. Slow progress. As long as you're making progress. Steadily. And the word steadiness is a very, very important quality in devotional life. Steady. So, as association, it's so important. In the nectar of instruction, Rupa Goswami mentioned it in two slokas. To emphasize, pratyahara priyasaccha, prajalpa niyamagraha, jana sangha chalavyamcha, sabhi bhakti vinashati. He said, what are the six things that are detrimental, that are unfavorable for devotional service? Overeating, over-collecting, more than we need, over-endeavoring for mundane wealth. Prajalpa, just yucking away just for the sake of opening a mouth, just to show our existence. And hankering for the association of materialistic people, and over-endeavoring for mundane achievement. And then in the next verse, it says, Usahan, Usahanisha Dayat, Tata Kama Pravatanan, Sangha Lao, Sangha Thyaga, Satori Te. sapya bhakti prasijati. On the other hand, enthusiasm, determination, endeavoring with patience, following the rules and regulations for the sake of following and neglecting it just because it's inconvenient or doesn't make sense. So on the other hand, is following the principle of devotional service, avoiding the association of non-devotees. So these are the six principles that are favorable for devotional service. So why do you emphasize that? On one hand, you said association of devotees is non-devotees is detrimental to devotional service. Why do you again mention avoid the association of devotees? Just emphasize how important it is, association, what kind of effect it has on us. If we make the wrong association, then our devotion life just go downhill. But you have the right association, by the power of the association, of the devotee, it can just lift us up. So that also implies that every devotee has a responsibility to provide that kind of association that can lift others up. Imagine the power of the temple, the power of the society, when everyone just take on that responsibility to be good association for others, the energy that's created, and how attractive it will be when people come, they say, there's something going on here, something that I like, I want to be part of this. And we all know one of the most clear example of the power of association is this Ananda. What's the name of this devotee? The first Russian devotee that Prabhupada met in Moscow. So Prabhupada got an invitation. He went there just for a few days. And Samasundara was out buying something and he met this boy, young boy, brought him back to see Prabhupada in the hotel. And Prabhupada, in that few short meeting, Prabhupada just instilled Krishna consciousness in him. Many years later, it still is. Russia is one of the most dynamic preaching field in the world. In the whole ISKCON, you see the Russian devotees everywhere. They're taking over. You go to Mayapur, they're everywhere. You go anywhere, they're everywhere. And they all started from one person having that association with Prabhupada. That's how powerful. So, I remember I was just speaking with Bhakta the other day. I reminded him, I said, remember the first time you had dinner at my place? At that time I was staying in Port Melbourne. So we had dinner and it was his birthday, so my wife made a cake for him. So after the dinner, we sat down and he asked me, he said, Chiran, what is your goal? What is the goal in Krishna consciousness? What do you want to achieve? I thought for a moment. I said, it's very simple. I just want to be the person that every person I meet, I can contribute something positive to that person. The moment of truth. Because in the early days when we were growing up in Krishna consciousness, everyone is talking about taking over the world. This will be the first Krishna conscious country. That will be the first Krishna country. We were going to take over the world. And that was a time. People joined because they had that spirit, revolutionary spirit, and rebellious, and the 60s, the 70s, even to the early 80s. They had that spirit. But then after a while, you realize, you say, wait a minute. Before you talk about taking over the world, I think we have to take over our senses. We have to take over our mind, control our senses, control our mind, before talking about all these big, big goals. And then you realize that, and the reason why I come to that conclusion is because I've seen, sometimes I visit a place, you were in Malaysia holiday, I visit a temple, I just happened to speak to someone who just coming to a temple on a Sunday feast, or meet a devotee, and you barely 1 minute or 2 minutes with that person, you just say something that you even forget. And then 10, 15, 20 years later, the person come back and tell you, say, Prabhu, you remember me? I said, can you jog my memory? Say, I remember you were here, and they remember the day and the time and the year, whatever. I said, yeah, I think I was there, yes. Yeah, how can I serve you? Say, and you said this and this to me, and completely changed my mind, changed my life, and really make me think deeply, and now, you see, here I am. And it just made me realize this, that you never know when you meet someone, you give that just momentary association. Sometimes how Krishna just acts through us, if we have that right kind of attitude, right kind of consciousness, Krishna just acts through us as an instrument to awaken somebody. You know? And that turned people around. Just the other day, I have so many, you probably have the same experience, I have so many Facebook friends. I can say probably three-quarters of them, I don't even know who they are. Or at least half of them, I have no idea who they are. They just send me a request and I just pick, accept. Normally I don't ask to be request for friends, I just... Sometimes I get requests from someone from India, and I look into the profile, everything is written in Hindi. I say, what's the point of being a friend on Facebook? I don't understand what you say, you don't understand what I say. You know? And sometimes they read in Chinese, and just like, weird. So anyway, and you know, Facebook has that function. It pops up and reminds you of people's birthday, if they put their birthday there. Right? So when someone pop up, first thing I check in the morning, if someone's birthday, I send them a message, wishing you a happy and blessed birthday. There was someone in New Zealand. And then he replied, thank you so much, Prabhu. I'm so happy I'm getting a blessing from my favorite devotee. And I wrote back, favorite? Question mark. Because I don't even know who he is. I look at the picture again, I said, I don't remember who this person is. And I said, my favorite devotee. And I wrote, favorite? Question mark. And he wrote back, yeah. When I come to the temple, I always see you in the Auckland temple, and you're always busy doing service, and always look so calm, and you always look like a really sincere devotee, and you're one of my top 20 favorite devotees. I thought, wow, this is mind-blowing, you know. I was there for a year, and I've been there for like 10 years. I visited just once, but I haven't been there. And I still don't know who he is. So it really makes you think, and it really gives you the burden of responsibility as a person, and not just as a devotee, as a person, how you interact with people and what kind of influence you're going to have on them. But sometimes when we associate with others, like they say, familiarity breeds contempt. We become too familiar with the person, and we start seeing all the faults, and we start becoming fault-finding. And that's a way, can be a very treacherous mindset to fall into. And especially people who are very close, or even family members. They come with children. Very, very hard. In when they're young, everything is depending on the parents. They look up to the parents like God, right? But as they get older, trying to establish their independence, sometimes they just oversee the qualities, and they're trying to find their own way and their own path. So again, we take things for granted. That's a very, very common mistake in human life, in human quality. We take things too much for granted. Usually how it goes is like that. When we first join the temple, we find out, wow, everything is so exciting, everything is so new, and we are very, very careful. everyone is a pure devotee. You offer respect to everyone, right? And then sometimes, then once you learn how to put on the dhoti properly, tie it up properly and we're not falling off, and we manage to get our tilak straight and instead of a zigzag. And then you say, wow, I got it together now. I'm good. I'm really established devotee now. I know, yeah. I know my things around. I've learned the songs. I can sing the song without the book. And then you start becoming a bit relaxed, too much. And that's where my hit. Say, yeah, yeah, you're very advanced now. You don't need this, you don't need that. And that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the six highway robbers, start attacking us. I was talking about this. You know, in the old Western movies, you have these cowboys riding on a horse with a gun stuck in, and then they come to this red, with two small hills between. So usually they're very vigilant. In the beginning, we're very vigilant in our devotional life. But once we get a few basic together, we start to become a bit negligent. And so we're whistling along, riding on our horse, in between this valley, and then suddenly before we know it, we get attacked by the six highway robbers. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness. And what's the other one? Huh? Envy. Oh, that's a big one. Envy. They get attacked, and then we start thinking, what happened? And then we start having doubts. And when you talk to them, you say, you know, I think there's something wrong with this Krishna consciousness. I've been practicing for Krishna consciousness for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. I never had this kind of problem before. Now suddenly I'm feeling so much problem, I have so much lust, and so much attachment. And if they meet the right kind of devotee who experience, you tell them, Prabhu, that's not true. He has always been there, laying dormant. Now by the practice of Krishna consciousness, it's coming up, so you can weed it out. You can remove it. Otherwise, it's still there. So these are all different things that one go through as devotees that one has to be careful with the association. So who we are associating with, who we are serving, that can lead to the path of liberation or it can lead to the path of hell. What's that verse? Mahat sevam dwaram ahu vimukte tamo dwaram yosita sanghi sangam. If you serve the Vaishnava, you serve the pure devotee, the door of liberation is wide open. But you serve Maya or materialistic people, then the door of hell is wide open. It's all association. It's the same energy. But what is the energy attached to? That's important. So that is very, very important. That's why it just in the nectar of instruction, in three verses in a row, Rupa Goswami is talking about association. First of all, he's talking about the kind of association we should avoid. And then he described, how do we associate? You can talk about associate, but how do we associate? The dati pradigrinati guyam ayati pichati mungde bhajayati chaiva. What's the last one? Sadhu? Pritilakshana. The six loving exchanges, offering a gift, accepting gift, offering prasadam, accepting prasadam, there's no problem accepting prasadam. But you should also offer prasadam. So normally this top four is easy. Offering gift, offering prasadam, accepting prasadam. Now comes the last one. Revealing our mind confidentially and inquiring confidentially. That kind of relationship is built on trust. How much trust do we have in that relationship that we can reveal our mind confidentially and also inquire confidentially? If we can establish that kind of relationship, then we have a very, very good and strong support in our Krishna consciousness. Because every now and then we're faced with some difficulty. We're faced with some obstacles. Who can we go to? Who do we have that we can go to reveal our mind confidentially? That we can reveal and without it being broadcast all over Facebook and social media and whatnot. Someone that we can have that kind of relationship of trust that we can reveal our mind and that we can inquire confidentially. So it's so important to cultivate that kind of relationship amongst devotees. And that real association, that you can just be with that person, just be who you are, without being judged, and without being criticized, and you can reveal your mind and you stay confidential, just between you and that devotee. And that devotee can just listen carefully, listen nicely, and give some guidance, give some advice. Yeah. So that is what we should all individually and as a society should hanker for. And that is what makes us strong individually, and that is what makes us strong as a society, as a group. And as the saying goes, if your group is strong, it cannot be broken. It's only when we stand individually that we can be easily broken. But if you have one group, strong group, if you're standing a group before, there's still someone holding you up. Have you seen this nature documentary on penguins? Very interesting. These penguins, how that this natural instinct of survival. When it's it's always cold winter in the Antarctica or the Arctic. So, but in the winter month, it's extreme. It's very very extreme, the cold. And they all group together to keep warm, right? And the weaker one is in the innermost of the group, and they keep one another warm. And of course, those who are on the outer ring will get the full blast of the cold. So they stand there, and after a while, they change position and they move in, and they keep changing position, and they keep protecting one another. That we're taking turn and protecting one another. And that's how they survive. You know? If someone is weak, they bring it back. And even the birds, where they're flying block, if someone is weak, a few of them will stay behind and provide the flow of the wing when they flap, to give some extra push for the one who is weak. So they have all this natural instinct, that support system, that sometimes as humans we neglect or forgotten. So if we develop the kind of synergy or this kind of energy in our association, then we all become very, very strong. And if someone is weak, the others are immediately there to support them. And immediately understand, oh, this devotee is going through this. He needs some help, needs some guidance. Not wait until it's already too late and they get into complete trouble, then only you try to save. And that's usually, but unfortunately, that's sometimes the case. If a devotee leave, and then we put a lot of effort trying to bring back. Instead of putting the effort, keep them here and make them stay. So it's so valuable how much effort, every effort we put, everything we're doing. Now, in our ISKCON, in our preaching movement, is to share this Krishna consciousness with others. How much effort we put in to bring them in, to bring people to Krishna. So how much more effort we should keep them and really train them, support them, give them all the love like that. So that is a kind of association we want to develop and want to hanker for. And not be negligent and not see someone as the source of sense gratification. Rather, take that association to uplift ourselves. So are there any comments? Any questions? Yes, Prabhu. How to develop that trust? Well, everything starts from small steps. You know? You have to observe, and you're someone you feel comfortable with. You chat with them, you take prasadam with them. After a while, you get a basic understanding of the mentality of that person. And if that person is not always bad-mouthing, if you hear someone bad-mouthing someone else, you stay away. Because then you think, he's bad-mouthing someone else, so when I'm not around, will he be bad-mouthing me? You know? So in Stephen Covey, one of the principles says, be loyal to the absence. They're not here to defend themselves. So it's something that build initial faith, and then you build up, and when you feel the confidence, you can rebuild a little bit, and you feel that, yeah, you get good advice, and then you develop. All relationships are developed from scratch. It's just like in India, a lot of you know, arranged marriages, you hardly know one another. But then over the years of associating, of over serving one another, you develop a relationship. And it grows from there. Isn't it? So, that's how all relationships are. Does that help? Any other? Yes, Madhuji?
You mentioned something about two shlokas on the path of devotion, and you said...
Mention what?
You said something about two shlokas which help you or take you away from the path of devotion, you know, the over-collecting or over-talking and something like that.
Okay, the nectar of instruction?
Yes.
Pratyahara, overeating, right? When we overeating, then we become tired, overtired, wholesome. I remember in my young days, the Sunday feast, in the old days, Prabhu, you remember the Sunday feast is like something to hanker for, something to look forward to. It's like real full spread, like 10 preps or whatever, you know. And then in the beginning, we don't know what's our limitation. I always overeat. Always overeat too much. And then I go and sankirtan, it took me 3 days to recover. I was going to be so tired the next few days. It's like struggling to get up, struggling to be out on the street. And after a while, I realized that this is not doing me any good. So what happened is that because in Chinese there's a saying, your eyes is wider than your stomach. You can eat more with our eyes than what our stomach can hold. So when we go for prasadam, we will say, yeah, oh, this looks good, give me more. Before we know it, it's like a mountain of prasadam on the plate. And then we go and eat, and before we finish the dessert, we go and ask for more, and then by the time we finish that, we were like, and you have to struggle through the halwa and the sweet rice and the malpuras and whatnot. So we practically just laying down like after the Sunday feast. And it goes on again. Next Sunday, you suffer, you say, oh, not again. And then next Sunday come, oh, here you go again. Like prasadam addicts. These are like people who drink. They drink so much, they're drunk, they'll throw out, and they say, oh, never again. And then by next weekend comes again, oh, yeah, cheers, and they go again. So for me, it took maybe like, I don't know, half a year or so. I know some devotees took a few years. I thought, this is not working. This is not good. So I told myself, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I will have one plate. Not two plates, one plate. Anything that fits into that plate and not like a mountain, I'm going to eat that and I'm not going to ask for a second. It doesn't matter how good it is, I'm not going to ask for a second. And then I was fine. And I was fine. I was able to function from Monday or the whole week. So anyway, this overeating is detrimental. And or over-collecting of money. Now, this is something interesting. I want to elaborate a bit. Over, sometimes very much misunderstood. Earning more than we need. Then we have to determine what do we need. Our needs are simple, right? And sometimes speak to devotees, and they tell me that, you say, oh, I got the opportunity to make more money here, make more money there. I say, why don't you do it? He said, doesn't matter. I don't need it. I said, does it interfere with your spiritual life if you do that? Not really, but I don't need it. I get angry. I get very upset. You know why? Because this is selfish. Krishna is given the opportunity to earn more without over-endeavoring. You don't need, that's fine. You take what you need. Extra you can give to the temple. You can contribute to the Sankirtan movement, to the preaching. So you have to understand what does it mean over-endeavoring for over-collecting. There's no, for devotees, there's no question of over-collecting. If we have that mentality, attitude of giving. And if we are earning money, that means we are in the grihastha ashram. Or nowadays you have an in-between ashram, between brahmachari and grihastha. You're a single, you're not a brahmachari, neither are you married. But you're out there working, earning. So still somewhat consider that grihastha. And one of the important principles of grihastha ashram is to give in charity. The other day, one devotee, Kirtiraj Prabhu from Alachua, old friend, he shared an article from Sri Bhakti, conversation with Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj. So he was going out with some devotees, and I think I'm going to have a hard time completing all this too. So, but it was such an eye-opener. He was with some devotees visiting some temple in India, right? So as they came out, there were these beggars. You know, in India, most of the temples have beggars outside. And he noticed that the disciples were not giving because they considered them not worth giving. So they were not giving any. And he chastised them. You are grihastha. It's your dharma to give in charity. Don't think just because they're beggars, you shouldn't be giving. They are all part and parcel of Krishna. There's nothing wrong with doing that. Because sometimes we think we just give to this project or only to the guru, only to the temple. Oh, he's not going to like that. But what about devotee if they need? We neglect that? You don't give and help them? Because they're not pure devotees or not advanced devotees? Or someone who's really in need, maybe not devotee? Where's the sense of compassion? So it really opened up a complete different perspective on things. And I remember a long time ago when I was in Malaysia, I was having dinner in my house with Amoga Prabhu. One of the early devotees was here, now living in Gold Coast. He was telling me how he knows of one devotee who only gives to other devotees who are in need. Because sometimes they are neglected, right? And I thought, that's an interesting concept. So, as grihastha is a very important part of our dharma to give in charity. So, if we are doing that, there's no question of collecting too much. As long as it's not over-endearing, it's not affecting our spiritual life. Go and create wealth. Because out of the four ashrams, only the grihastha ashram has that facility of creating wealth. All the others are mendicants. Create wealth, unlimited wealth. become a multi-billionaire, and build temples, give to, distribute prasadam, distribute books. So we have to actually cultivate that kind of mentality amongst our devotees. I find it sometimes a bit missing in certain parts, that misunderstanding of the philosophy. So an over-endeavoring for achievement, for titles and so on. So avoiding devotee association. Or prajapa, just talking. Has a very, very negative effect on our consciousness. All this prajapa, all this talking. That nothing related to Krishna. But then again, then sometimes devotee again take it to the extreme. If every sentence we open our mouth is not Krishna, there's no Krishna there, then it's not preaching. No. Sometimes you don't have to mention. Just like I was telling devotees preaching in Eastern Europe before, during the communist time, they can't mention the word God, they can't mention the word Krishna. But the way they preach and presenting, in the end, everyone got it. Everyone knows what's their point, they're talking about. So sometimes you talk to people, you don't have to be always preaching to someone. We are not like born-again Christians, you know. We're always like, as soon as you see someone, accept, surrender, or you burn in hell. No. Sometimes you just be gentlemen. Prabhupada, when you go for morning walk, you say, devotee, you say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You say, good morning. Good morning. And they're wondering why Prabhupada said good morning instead of greeting them Hare Krishna. At least they can hear the holy name. And so if you say Hare Krishna, they would just wonder, who is this guy? But because I said good morning, they all say good morning, so they're wishing a devotee good morning. And they're creating Agyata Sukriti. Without knowingly, they're wishing a devotee well. So these are things of following rules and regulations just for the sake of following rigid. Sometimes when they're too rigid, too austere, it makes our heart hard. The devotee's heart is soft. Or we just neglect his art. Doesn't matter this, doesn't matter that, and so on and so forth. And so it's like that. Just be negligent or too overly strict and not understanding the purpose of that. A good example is like fasting, alright? On days of fasting. The purpose of fasting is to perform austerity. So, what's the purpose of the austerity? To minimize our bodily needs and increase our sadhana. Increase our chanting and hearing. But if we are fasting and we are lying down all day, it defeats the purpose of the fasting. Then it's better to eat something and chant and hear. There was one devotee who was fasting and was just lying in bed. And Prabhupada forced him. He said, but it's fasting. He said, eat. And then go and chant. You know? So, these are... And on the other hand, those who are... What is favorable? Enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is very, very important. Sometimes we don't feel enthusiastic. When you come to the kirtan, I always use this example. Instead of our eyes on the deities, our eyes is on the lotus feet. Shuffling our feet around, going through the motions of things. But we just, how do we become enthusiastic? Just be enthusiastic. Just chant out loud and just start dancing. And all our mental block will just fly away. And we just... blissful. It's so easy to be enthusiastic. Determination. And determination comes from discipline. If you don't have discipline, it's very hard to have determination. And patience. That Prabhupada said, patience, don't expect it overnight. He said, it's just like a girl getting married and then expect the husband to say, why is my child now? You still have to follow the process and still wait 9 months and then you have a child. So we follow the process, we get the result. And we have seen so many devotees have achieved result, not just from the scripture. Even within our own ISKCON society, we've seen how devotees left their body in full Krishna consciousness just simply because they practice, follow the process, they've surrendered their life to Krishna. And then just recently, we have another devotee. It's quite recent, right? Krishna Das Swami. Right? Recently. Yes. He wanted to leave his body in Vrindavan. Went back to Vrindavan. Just entering Raj Mandal, Bhumi, he left his body. Full Krishna consciousness. So Krishna take care. And again, avoiding the association of devotees. Following process of devotional service. So these are important principles. Now if you look at this also, if you look at the six principles of surrender, two of them is accepting everything favorable for devotional service, rejecting everything unfavorable for devotional service. So these are six of the things favorable and six unfavorable. I got a question back to you. I was thinking just yesterday, and I would like an answer. Why everything is in six? Anyone has an answer to that? It just kind of hit me. Everything is in six. The six highway robbers, the six control the tongue and all this, the six. Then you have six things favorable, six things unfavorable, six loving exchanges. Huh? Pardon?
Six.
Six. Does anyone know? Anyone has an answer to that? There must be a reason why it's all in six.
Krishna's favorite number.
Huh?
Krishna's favorite number. It's to answer our six senses.
Okay. Is there any other comments? Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, what?
Many homeless people sitting there, they're also begging sometimes, even in the city.
Yeah. Oh.
So then you click and then they go and then they buy something or they drink alcohol.
Yeah, that's true also. But I think what he was talking about, people who are genuinely in need, I mean, that was in India and they are poor, actually, with a temple, they just for their sustenance. That's. And like, you, for example, you go to Vrindavan, you have all these widows and, you know, that's a way of sustenance. Yes, bro. Giving prasadam. Yeah. But then also, again, Prabhupada also said that depending on who you giving, what kind of reaction or reward you get. So, like everything in Krishna consciousness, everything has to be understood in proper balance. We have to sometimes use our discrimination and discretion. And that's why it's so Krishna consciousness is so fascinating. They never like has to be this or that. What doesn't change is the principle of Krishna consciousness, but the application has to be used according to time, place, circumstances, kalapa tradition. And that's where experience comes in, realization comes in, you know, and not just theoretical knowledge, but from real deep realization, you know when to apply which principle. Yes, ma'am. Give prasad. Yeah, give them prasad. So next time you go into the city, make sure you have some prasad with you. Anyway, you're not a grihastha. Oh, you're for the audience. Yeah. So you don't have money to give. You have money to give, then I think Prabhu should talk to you. Have a chat. So, but you can still give prasadam, books, and mercy. Give them blessings. Ashivan. Right. Okay. Yes, you look like you have a question.
Just one question regarding this passport. Whether we can associate with some saintly person without the knowledge, because it is said
yes.
that even without the knowledge, if you associate with this devotee, it will lead to the
path of yeah.
But without knowledge, we associate
yeah, you can see this. Whether you know, you don't know. I'll probably give the example of the process of Krishna consciousness, whether it's chanting or the association with devotee. You take the medicine, you know, you don't know, you still have to take effect. So when we associate with devotees, they have effect. I mean, just to give an example of my own, I'm working in the corporate world, and with people I work and people and clients that I meet, even my bosses, I don't talk about Krishna or anything like that. But from my behavior, they know where I'm coming from. And they have great respect for that. And sometimes they forget. My boss told me, I went to see him down by Geelong at the beach. He had his birthday, so we make a cake and we brought it there to his holiday home. So we're having a chat. And he asked me how old, he said, you know, and he apologized to me. He said, CJ, sometimes just in our sales meeting and all that, I just forget who you really are and your age. Because the way you act, you act just like us, you know, like in the 30s or 40s. You're always so lively, enthusiastic, great ideas to contribute and all this. So I just forget your age and where you're coming from. So I really apologize for that. You know? And that's the thing, sometimes they don't, but they benefit from it. People's outlook gradually change just by your association. And I know a lot of people, including devotees, appreciate, but okay, I get one or two comments. Why am I sending out these daily reflections? Nothing to do with Krishna. Not Krishna consciousness. It's just positive thoughts, right? They're sending out every day. I send out in three different groups. So it's been shared. So I don't know how many hundreds of people are receiving every day. And I've been doing it for more than 2 years, every day. But I can see the effect on people. People come, and these are qualities that we can use and apply in our spiritual life. They may not be directly related to Krishna, but these are qualities that we can develop and apply in our Krishna consciousness. And then eventually people really appreciate the look up and they start asking questions. And they start wanting to know, who is this person who is sending out this? There's so much wisdom there. And then from there, it's just all building bridges. So you can instill Krishna consciousness in others. Going in like a needle and coming out like a plow. Instead of going in like a plow and coming out like out with nothing. There was one time when I was still in Malaysia, I had a franchise, a business providing security guards, right? So there are a few places, few housing assets that I provide. And there was especially one in a very high-end housing area. So I make friends with the manager. He's the one who provides. He said, all right, CJ gave me so many guards and all that. So we kind of cycle a kind of a friendship. And when I left, I had lunch with him. He's a Christian. And he told me, he said, you know, CJ, I've known you for more than a year. And I know you are a very spiritual person. But I really, really respect you because not even once have you imposed it upon me. Whereas some of my friends, when I sit down with them, they can immediately they have to try to force their faith or belief on me. But you have not done it even once. And I really respect you for that. So what would you prefer? Push it on someone and then they just don't want to have anything to do with you? Or just conduct your business and people respect you for that. And by respecting for you, you think they'll get some benefit? They'll get Ajata Sukriti. Understand? So sometimes, I mean, not like I'm saying I'm great on it, but I don't go and declare I'm this or that and so many things. I'm just who I am. And very often people just walk over my head. That's all right. Teach me humility. All right? Yeah, yes. Oh, a lot of questions today.
Why?
What did I?
Why everything six in
order? Yeah. I don't know. That's why I'm asking the question. That's why I'm asking. Yes, Prabhu.
You mentioned how you starting at one thing, like a big one, starting in the and you start finding holes in Krishna consciousness. At the same time, you ask the question, whatever is coming in your mind from the devotees, and you don't get satisfaction from that answer. You keep struggling with it inside your mind.
If you want answer, you have to go to the right person to get an answer. Now there are two ways to look at it. Some people don't really want answer. They just want someone to confirm their own thinking. So they keep on asking until they find someone who agree with what they're thinking. And say, yes, Prabhu, confirm. Did Prabhu confirm it? Right? We're familiar with that. But if we genuinely open, then we have to know who actually has the knowledge and experience who can give me the guidance. You don't just go to any Bhakta Joe and ask him, Prabhu, I have this existential question. And you don't go to a Brahmachari and ask, Prabhu, I have some household problem. You have to go to the right person who has that kind of experience and knowledge who can actually help you. And there's so many senior devotees here, both Brahmacharya and Grihastha, who can provide that guidance. No, actually it's so rich, this temple is so rich. It's so rich with experiences and dedicated devotees and experienced devotees who can guide. I was just talking to one devotee from Finland yesterday. He was a temple president when I was his regional secretary. We maintained a good friendship. And he told me, he said, the temple there, they just got this place from the government, just on the outskirts of the city, and sitting right there in the park. Beautiful place, two buildings, right? And there are only four devotees there. Only four brahmacharis living in the temple. Struggling. The struggle to get the temple, and now bigger struggle to maintain it. And they have an opportunity to get another big piece of land that the government is willing to give to the devotees, but they will have to come up with more money. So I suggested to him, I said, start a membership program. They have a big congregation, start a membership program. And how? I said, let's go on Skype tomorrow with the temple president and can suggest some idea. I was preaching there for 2 years previously. So, why not talk about this? Nothing related. Sorry, I don't know why I brought it up. But anyway, yeah. Now, rich. So here are so many devotees, so rich with experience and so much going on, you know. Well, sometimes you see temple, you go, they're just struggling. Yeah.
But sometimes, even a god and a god and a god devotee answers you, there is a challenge in your mind now, this is not my right answer. Like, you know, how to neglect that change, how to accept whatever he says. And sometimes
okay, hold that thought. Shall we end the class here? Let's end, it's getting a bit late, but I'll talk to you after this, okay? Alright? Yeah. So we end the class, it's getting a bit late. So all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much.